Let's get going with our business roundtable here today. Part two of our discussion on business succession. This is a story that impacts a lot of people. This is important to the future of companies that are gold standard companies, great companies. But if there's not a succession plan, those jobs, that mission is in peril. So we have assembled a great group of folks to join us monthly on the program and talk about some of these important topics. They include Tom McDougall of High Point Networks, Tyler Leverington of Onstead Twitchell Law, Chad Flanagan from Ide Bailey, and Dan Steller of Sterling & Banker here all today. Tom, first question goes to you. Do you have power back in Texas where you're at right now?
Oh, yes. We got it back about 5 o'clock yesterday p.m., so we were out about 2.5 days. Now, it's been choppy, but it's been pretty good since it came back on. Now there is a monstrous water and fresh food shortage. So we'll be dealing with that for a few days, I'm sure.
Incredible. By the way, there's wisdom in North Dakota that can solve all these problems and deal with this. And hopefully we can export some of that wisdom, because it's just crazy to see what's happening, knowing in places around America they are removing coal from the grid and not actually having a true all-of-the-above system. So maybe that's a topic for another day with our business friends, because if the current administration gets its way, the cost of everything is going to go up, and there is going to be an impact. You're going to need an Ide Bailey, a law firm, and a bank to get you through this. We're starting with the business succession is kind of your story, Tom, building this world-class company, High Point Networks, and you told us last time really not necessarily spending a lot of time on who's going to be next, but realizing that you needed to do it. So talk about your journey quickly and how you got to the realization that you needed to think about this to preserve what you'd built.
Well, it's a great question, Scott, and I've been thinking about this just a little bit. Well, actually a lot over the last few months. I think the first thing was for Justin and I, when we really got together and started building the business big, we went into it with the idea that we weren't building something to try and sell. So we kind of had a mindset going into it. Now, we didn't know what it was going to look like, and maybe we still don't, but I think that was a decision that we first had to make, is what are we really trying to accomplish? Is it, because if you're trying to build something to create the biggest value and, cash out on it or cash in, whichever way you want to look at that, You probably go about building things differently than we did. Now, since we decided that we weren't trying to build something to sell, we really started focusing on what does our system look like then? How do we operate so that if something does happen to us, it's not all lost? So we focus a lot of our energy on that part of it. And so that if we're not there or something does happen, the business can continue. And I think it's a mindset of ours that, Simon Sinek says it in one of his recent books, of kind of this infinite game mindset. And so that's the way we look at it. Others, if you're looking at it from the perspective of, I want to build something that I can cash out, you certainly can do that. That's a great thing to do. Lots of people do that. But you would oftentimes end up building it a little bit more so that the owners or the managers everything's a little bit more tied to a single person oftentimes is what I see there, which makes it a little bit easier to sell, because you don't necessarily have as big impact on as big a group of people. If we were to do that, that would be a really, really big impact. So I think... All the components that you're going to hear from Chad and Dan and Tyler are all super important in that as well. But for me, it was more mindset.
And obviously starting down that path in that conversation. Chad, talk about it from the perspective of what Ide Bailey would do in advising somebody that is going through this, just like you heard Tom sort of walk us through the different options. What are the pitfalls? What are the things you're going to tell them they need to think about and worry about?
Yeah, I think as Tom and Justin went through that process, the first step is to decide who the buyer of your business is going to be. And if it is your employees or family members, that can be a great opportunity to continue the culture that you've built, continuity of your business, create opportunity for those employees. The pitfall with that really is just, make sure you have a consistent cash flow stream in that business. The company's cash flow really is what funds those transactions. Usually those employees don't have a big check they can write. So there's some pros and cons to selling to employees, but making sure that business is stable is the best way to make sure you get paid on a seller note or something of that nature. On the flip side, if you're selling to a third party, there you can get that nice check at the closing day and really, you know, exit the business more quickly. The risk there is that you don't control the culture anymore. You don't have your influence on the business. You just have to hope they treat your employees and the community and those things well. And so make sure you do due diligence on those buyers, whether that's an equity group or a strategic buyer. There are some really great companies out there that will very much be in tune to your culture and can be a win-win. But maybe call a company that has sold to them and find out their experience. That can go a long way.
Tyler, talk a little bit about the legal side of this. Big difference, obviously, in the two sort of examples here of the ways to go, right?
Yeah, very big difference. When you're selling to family, often what we see is stock sales, and those are the transition itself can be a lot more smooth. There's a lot more involved with what would likely be an asset sale when you're selling to a third party. But the biggest thing is just thinking about it all in advance, because even though the stock sale may be a little bit more smooth from the big picture, I see clients struggle all the time with what is this transition going to look like? Mm-hmm. Because 90% of my net wealth is tied up in this company. I've got three kids, and one of them has been working in the company for the last 15 years and is going to be the one that runs the company. What about my other two kids? On the one hand, do I want those other two kids to be able to outvote the one kid who's been in the company for 15 years? On the flip side, is it fair to give 90% of my net worth to just one of my three kids? And there's ways we can address all of those questions. It's just something that we have to be working on ahead of time.
What is best for the seller, Dan? I mean, you're obviously handling the financial side of this. They got to be thinking about that too, but there's going to be family pulls. What advice do you have there?
I think there's a couple of key components. Once you get past the emotional component, you know, what do I want to have happen? Do I want my employees to continue the same culture? The next piece is the financial. You know, what is that going to look like? Do I want a big chunk of money on the front end? Do I want a revenue stream that's going to last long term? And what do I expect is going to come back to me in that process? I like to get involved right between Chad and Tyler. So once you figure out a value and decided what the sales price is going to be, and before you document everything, I like to get involved and work with the seller and the buyer to say, is this going to be feasible to finance? How much of this sales price is going to need to be financed? And can we structure something that's going to work for both parties?
Comes back to cash flow, right, Chad? Got to have that cash flow if you're going to talk to your banker. Love it. All right, more of this when we continue. Dan Stollers here from Starion. Tom McDougall, High Point Networks, Chant Flanagan with Ide Bailey and Tyler Leverington from Onsted Twitchell. Great advice today on the Business Roundtable. We'll back with our Business Roundtable legends. Yes, they are legends. This is legendary business advice, folks, from these folks. Very, very important. I'd like each of you to share a story. Tom, you've shared yours and how you came to this point, but let's go around the table a little bit about a situation somebody's been through before that you think would be a good example of what people need to think about when talking about business succession. Chad, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. The story I think about often is when I first started working with clients in business succession. And as an accountant, we get pretty excited to jump in our spreadsheets and measure tax implications and things like that. But what's most important as we work with our clients through that process is to make sure they're ready for an actual exit. Most will, you know, if they have a hard time, it's the business is their baby. And to think about life after the business is very challenging. And maybe Tom can talk about that a little bit. But I had a new appreciation for how emotional this process is. And as we work with clients now, we make sure to ask them about what they're going to do next, what they want their role in the business to be, if anything, and how they're actually going to move through this process. Because it's not the mechanics that tie them up. It's the emotions.
And you want to be asked those questions because it's sort of that's the elephant in the room when you're talking about that, right? Tom, was that hard for you?
Yeah, I think that that's a really difficult question for me. I don't know that it's super difficult for everybody just because the people come from different situations and have different things going on. But, you know, for me, I'm very emotionally tied to the business and I work in it, you know, just about every day. And that's a question. At what point do you step away from doing what you're doing? And do you step completely away or do you take an advisory role, which is, I think, what I'm going to do, take an advisory role for a while and and then maybe just stay at a board level for a while. And you know, it's like Chad said, it's, you know, in my case, it's my baby, and I want to stay involved. But others, I've got lots of friends who, when they're done, they walk away from it, and they're perfectly fine with that. And just like Chad said, that's going to be an individual situation, but you need to think about it. Because if you think you're going to walk away and find that you can't, that's going to create some challenge for whoever the business went to, whether it's family or you sold it to a third party or whatever. So you don't want to feel bad about it either.
Well, I think, though, you're all talking about the human side of this. And accountants and bankers, lawyers, sometimes you don't think of having that human touch, but you guys have obviously displayed to do. And Tyler, I want an example from you. We just got news, by the way. Carson Wentz has been traded to the Indianapolis Colts. So he's a Colt. That news just coming across the wire. So that'd be all right. That'd be good for both, I think. I'm looking forward to seeing how that'll work out.
Worst kept secret there.
Right. They've been working on it for a while, but it's official now.
That's a good meet. That's a good marriage, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tyler, talk about an example that sticks with you. You at Onstad Twitchell, you're doing this every day, working with folks. What's a good example on, just that human side of this decision?
Yeah, I touched on a little bit the transitioning to family and figuring out who's going to be in management versus ownership and getting strategic with that in terms of assigning voting stock versus non-voting stock. But another thing that sellers and buyers both have to keep in mind, not only is transitioning ownership, but transitioning business relationships. If my business brings in $10 million a year in revenue, and it turns out that 8 of that 10 is all from Chad, we have to take a close look at, is Chad doing business with my company because my company is the best option for him? Or does Chad just like doing business with me? And as soon as I'm gone, Chad's going to look around town and see where else he might bring his $8 million in business. And how does that change what this transaction may or may not look like? There's ways we can protect both buyers and sellers in that situation.
Bankers are a little more, hands-on all the time. You know, you need a good accountant, obviously. You need the consultants. You need a lawyer. But you're living and breathing with these folks. So how do you walk them through that? Give me a story about how you help.
Sure. I think one of the areas that we focused on a lot is, we've talked about, is employee ownership. And certainly a component of that is, are the employees ready to be owners? Are they ready to think differently? Have you identified who's going to lead the company? I've seen some of these deals, once you've identified a buyer and a seller, and if that's a buyer happens to be the employee group, these deals might take 2, 3, 4 years before they finally come together and the transaction is complete. That's why I think it's so important that business owners are thinking succession early on. Identify, hey, I'm going to go to the sellers, I'm going to go to family, I'm going to go to a third party, and start working towards that early in the process. Because it might take longer to get that business in a position to be sold at the dollar amount that you want to sell it for than you might think.
Better Business Roundtable, great stuff, great information, and it costs you zero, folks. How about that? To learn from these pros. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it very much.